Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Several developments in the Jeffrey Epstein story. Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC News Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche will be meeting with Epstein co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell today at the prison where she's serving time in Florida. Chairman of the House Oversight Committee has issued a subpoena to Maxwell for a deposition to occur next month at that same prison. A federal judge has denied a request to unseal grand jury transcripts of federal investigations into Epstein.
He said the court's hands are tied here, and the Justice Department did not provide enough of a reason, enough of a justification for releasing grand jury testimony, which is supposed to be kept secret.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Also, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Attorney General Pam Bondi told President Trump in May that his name is mentioned several times in the Epstein files. Columbia University agreeing to pay $220 million to restore federal research dollars. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The publicly owned Green Bay Packers saw a 10% increase in revenue for the fiscal year ending in March of 2025. However, net income dropped by $12.5 million. CEO Mark Murphy says the discrepancy stems from a decline in non-operating income, which includes things like investments. Months after emerging victorious in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Justice-elect Susan Crawford is finally set to be sworn in. Crawford will officially take her seat on the court for a 10-year term on August 1st, with a ceremony in the state capitol rotunda at 4:30 p.m. Her victory in the April election preserved a 4-3 liberal majority on the state's highest court. State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor has announced her candidacy for the 2026 election, which could further solidify the liberal majority. The buildings at the former Badger sheet metal site are coming down. This week, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich and other community leaders kicked off the demolition to make way for a new fire station, something that Green Bay Metro Fire Chief Matthew Knott says is a long time coming.
This is going to replace two buildings that we have that are currently 100 years old and 88 years old. Both of those buildings have numerous challenges, as you could imagine, from being structures that old. This brings modern safety features, modern equipment, and really things that make our firefighters work much easier and much safer in the long run. So very excited about this project.
The development on South Broadway near the Shipyard District will transform a 5.25-acre brownfield site into a vibrant, mixed-use development featuring the new Green Bay Metro Fire Station, 85 affordable housing units, and ground-floor retail space. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
It's back to football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay. At the Packers training camp underway, practices open to the public at 10:30 a.m. A new locker room and a new attitude amongst the players, running back Josh Jacobs.
We didn't like how we finished last year. The sense of urgency in this building, in this organization right now is very high. You know, we all trying to hold each other to that standard of what we want to be and what we want to accomplish. And obviously, you know, we went, what, one game in the North? So for us, man, that's our main focus right now, just trying to be better and improve.
College football, the Badgers holding their media day at the Big Ten Conference in Las Vegas. After finishing 5-7, head coach Luke Fickell says they need to accept their role as the underdog.
A part of that is embracing being an underdog. That's how Wisconsin's gotten to where they are.
Baseball, Brewers with a 10-2 win in Seattle. Milwaukee with the best record in baseball. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high right around 84 this afternoon. Tonight, 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 83. The heat and humidity will return with 80s to low 90s by the weekend and a few scattered thunderstorms, especially on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 74.
Matinee on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matinee on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Troubles in the courts for the Trump administration. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney and acting attorney, will join us to break it all down. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matinair on Air.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that's not exactly true. We're not at the Lake Wissota studios today. We weren't there yesterday. We won't be there tomorrow. We're in Madison, Studio A2, along with Parker Olson, producing this fine radio program. And tomorrow we'll be on location in Oshkosh. It's where Brittany Merlot is. But we're not talking to her today. She's not talking to us. She's taken a couple of days to, after reporting from EAA for a few days, is now just going to take it all in and enjoy it. And we hope she's having a great time at the campground and seeing all the sights. And we look forward to hearing all about it come Monday. But coming up this hour, we are going to be talking about cryptocurrency from a state perspective. Because around the state, you're starting to see ATMs go up that are also crypto friendly, I guess we could call it, where you could somehow, you know, put money toward whether it's Bitcoin or one of these other cryptocurrencies, to which I add parenthetically, whatever the heck they are, because I am not convinced that this isn't just some thing on par with, you know, the Dutch tulip bulbs of the 1600s or any other commodity. And that's the other question: is crypto a commodity? Like wheat and corn and gold, or is it a security? Is it more like a stock and you can lose your investment in it? These are all questions that are still up in the air, but at least one thing a couple of legislators want to do is make sure that if some of these folks want to put ATMs up in Wisconsin that say you're putting your money toward crypto, that it's not a scam. And so we will hear directly from State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Ryan Spouty later this hour about crypto and, you know, what kind of guardrails state government can put on it. We'll talk to Camden Hargrove of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, live from Green Bay. He's there for the Wisconsin Public Education Network annual summer summit, the get-together of educators and their allies. Todd Alba is up there as well and will be doing his show live from Green Bay Preble High School coming up this afternoon. Chris Hambuck Boyle, a friend of the show, must also be there as well because she texted us a photo of Lambeau Field where they had their welcome reception last evening. The note from Chris says, "We welcomed public education champions from across the state to kick off our 11th annual summer summit. Each year, the welcome reception shows off some local flair. How could we not?" Well, if you're doing local flair in Green Bay, that would be Lambeau Field. And Chris has sent to us, Parker, a very lovely picture from, if you may not have ever been to, basically it's like a little conference center inside of Lambeau Field. And there's an area there where you look out over the field from way up high. It's pretty cool.
It's so, this is one of the most beautiful pictures I think I've ever seen of Lambeau Field.
I mean,
I would take it.
So,
gorgeous.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody's having
happiest place on earth.
A good time there at Preble High School after that nice reception yesterday. We will also be checking in with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, our civic media station up there. That's in our next hour, as well as Joe Zepecki. We'll be talking about a Democratic state senator who's circulating a petition saying that the Democratic gubernatorial nominee next year, whether it's Tony Evers or somebody else, needs to commit to a series of promises kind of on par with the contract on America that, you know, Newt Gingrich had back in the day. But this one more productive. This one actually, you know, for the middle class. This one, something that's actually attainable. But is it too much to ask for? Are some of these things painting potential candidates into a corner? We'll talk to Joe a little bit about that. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets, all that yet ahead here on These Mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's check over on the mailbag here, because I'm sure that Rob from Tigerton has checked in as well. Sure enough, on YouTube, he writes, "Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 70 degrees. Tigerton picked up 1.1 inches of rain from yesterday's storm. There was tree damage. There were power lines down in the Rosholt and Iola areas. I also saw some photos of damage north of Bloomer in Chippewa County." Rob goes on to tell us there was a funnel cloud along Highway 45 south of Clintonville, a tornado in the Gillette area in Oconee County, and with it being so humid yesterday, it had that feel like it was going to storm. He said, coming home from Shawano, the sky to the west was very dark from the tornado warning out in Marathon County. He writes, "I think the meteorologists in the Wausau and Green Bay markets did an excellent job with their tornado and severe weather coverage, an excellent job of keeping people up to date." And we are always extremely thankful for the meteorologists who are working their hearts out in severe weather. Now, to an earlier subject, and that was about concert T-shirts, Tony writes on YouTube, "I have heard that you shouldn't wear a band's shirt at their concert." He says, "I was told that as I was wearing a band's shirt while at the concert." So there, we got one other person who claims that that's a thing. I don't know if this is really a thing or if just people think it's a thing and so they parrot it.
I just need to hear the reasoning for it, because I don't see a reason not to.
No, I like your Packer analogy.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't wear a Packer jersey to the game? Let's see. Tony also chimed in on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie, not the album, the movie in the mid-70s. And you said maybe you just need to watch a good, bad movie. And Tony said, "I tried watching it a week or two ago, and I just hated it. This is not a good, bad movie," he writes. "Just bad."
That's bad. All right.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for saving me an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just about finished here with my Quick Trip coffee over here, my Cafe Coruba, which I never have. It's only when I'm on the road, because, I mean, this thing is basically, it's a big old cup of sugar, some water. You know, you're over there drinking water. So healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Out of your
nothing but water here. And you know what? It is so hot. I am flying through this water bottle today.
Well, good. You're properly hydrated.
Yeah.
We preach that all the time here. That's great. But it does get me to wondering, because I've seen the coffee maker in my hotel room.
Yeah.
Don't trust it.
No? is it scary looking?
Well, it has a look at 4 in the morning when you're making it, and if something goes wrong, I mean, what are you going to do? It's 4 in the morning. You're stuck, and you got this mess to clean up or whatever.
Yeah.
So then there's the lobby coffee. And again, this is pretty much any hotel. And, most of the time that tastes rather burnt or whatever. There's gas station coffee of varying degrees. And so that's the question that I wanted to ask folks is either hotels or gas stations or both, something else like that, when you're on the road, is there a place that was surprisingly good in the coffee department? You know, you were at maybe you like staying at Holiday Inn Expresses and you happen to think that coffee is particularly good or bad. I want to hear about both.
I want to hear the bad.
And the same goes for the gas station stuff, and not just Quick Trip, but other chains out there. Is there anything that is particularly good, bad, noteworthy, funny? You know, because sometimes I imagine that, you know, sometimes at these places you have very young employees. I imagine one Parker Olson who is not a coffee drinker. And if you're not trained properly, you're like, how many scoops of coffee are you supposed to put in this thing? 12 will do. You know, and it should actually be 2.
I'm sure that's right.
Yes. So would love to know in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube if you watch the show there for Up North News or Civic Media, or you can use the Civic Media app to send us a text and let us know more what you think about either coffee at the gas station, coffee at the hotels, just being on the road overall. Yesterday I had a sausage McMuffin coming into work because I, you know, usually make my own breakfast, but hit the drive-thru. And then during our little host retreat yesterday, they brought in Ian's Pizza. A Madison institution.
Yes.
You know, so we had the mac and cheese pizza and the pepperoni and sausage.
That looked good.
And then, of course, the whole crew went out to dinner on State Street, you know, after that, or on Capitol Square. You know, get your cheese curds and some other things. Yeah, I should be fasting today. But, of course, no, I've got this big old cup of sugar, you know, from the gas station.
There's nothing wrong with that, Pat.
No.
You need what you need.
Well, again, we're on the road this week. And so the diet is just a little bit, it just hits a little bit different.
Yeah. That's okay. You know? I'm fine with that. I would love to go somewhere on State Street just for food.
There are plenty of good options. Although fewer than the last time. Madison's one of those places that is just always changing. And I noticed that, like, Tuto Pasta is gone. I used to like that. What is it, Short Stack, the breakfast place?
Oh, yeah.
That's now gone. But there are a couple of new places there that have come in since I was last around. So, I mean, State Street in Madison is definitely one of those places where if you can't find something you like, come on back next week. Because there's definitely some turnover in there. Let's see. There's also from Tony, I want Todd's take on coffee because he is an aficionado. Oh, yes.
For how much he's on the road, yeah.
Yes, and he does love his Wonder State coffee. He's all the time talking about that as well. The Brewers were big winners yesterday, which is kind of bittersweet given that, you know, that would have then been 13 wins in a row. But instead, it's 12 out of the past 13 because Bryce Durang drove in 3 runs on 3 hits. The Brewers had 17 hits overall in a 10-2 rout of the Seattle Mariners to take 2 out of 3. Quinn Priester went 7 innings, allowed 2 runs on 6 hits with 6 strikeouts. And I think that Roger up in Stevens Point, we were talking about, he put a comment up on Facebook. In Quinn Priester's last 11 starts, he has won 8 decisions, an ERA of 2.42, let's see, and 61 strikeouts compared to 12 walks. Those are some pretty good numbers there. Thank you, Roger.
Very good. My goodness.
Yeah. So, but we've been talking about how the Brewers are doing all this with names that are not household, shall we say.
No.
You know, those of us who like to follow the team are still learning who some of these guys are.
You do get a name like once every 2 weeks or so that you go, what? Who? Isaac Collins?
And yet, you know, and yet they're getting it done. They are off today. The Brewers will head home to take on the Miami Marlins.
Attaboy.
Pat. Coverage begins. It's an afternoon game tomorrow on a Friday. Kind of rare here. So coverage begins the pregame at 2:35. On stations in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, Park Falls, and, of course, Hayward. And tomorrow, even though the show is on the road, we will still do Free Ticket Friday, where you can win 4 tickets. And I'm going to tell you right now, we already know which game it is. And I'm telling you this just to get you excited for it. It's the Brewers-Cubs series. And tomorrow on Free Ticket Friday, we're giving out 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs game Wednesday afternoon. Daytime baseball against the Cubs at American Family Field. You're going to want to get the Civic Media app if you haven't already. Get that downloaded where you pull up a station, you text us the keyword. I'm not giving you the keyword now. That's the whole purpose of Free Ticket Friday.
Yeah. So gotta listen.
Tomorrow, we'll give you the keyword. And then throughout the course of the show, you text us that word. And then on some of the other shows, all of the other shows, you'll get an opportunity to text in a keyword as well. And in that entire statewide drawing, somebody's going to get pulled and win four tickets to next Wednesday afternoon's Brewers-Cubs game. It could be you. So if you can go, if you can get some tickets sent to you over your phone and use them, then keep that in mind for tomorrow for Free Ticket Friday. A local update is next for some of you, and for others, we'll be back in 15 minutes and talking about cryptocurrency with two legislators. Live on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Jet back to Zaroni's, the macaroni and pizza pub on Jackson Street in Oshkosh. Enjoy the Zaroni's to-go lunch buffet Wednesday through Friday, 11 to 2. Fly in for their specials this week. Wednesday, buy one food item, get the second half off. Thursday, buy one 16-inch pizza, get half off 6-piece traditional or 10-piece boneless wings. Friday, get a 16-inch pizza, 6-piece traditional or 10-piece boneless wings, and a specialty Mac for only $42. Soar over to Zaroni's.com to check out their specials, full menu, and hours.
Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net. www.northernpines.net.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
/7:22 the time now. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We are here in Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, right off the Capitol Square here in the Capitol City for a little civic media gathering. And then tomorrow on the road again, we'll be reporting from Oshkosh before we head back up north. But let's talk a little bit about one of the legislators from up north, State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire. He was on recently and has a column, an opinion column in the Cap Times newspaper talking about how supporting our veterans shouldn't just be a talking point. And we are talking about the zeroing out of help for homeless veterans. And he speaks specifically of Klein Hall in Chippewa Falls, which since 2007 has been a safe haven for homeless veterans, where those who served our country have a chance to rebuild their lives with dignity and purpose. Senator Smith writes, it offers more than just shelter. It promotes the tools that veterans need to get back on their feet, like job training, counseling, and stability. But at the moment, Smith writes, several dozen veterans currently living at Klein Hall could be out on the street by September 30th, Each of them wore the uniform. They served with honor and trusted that we'd keep up our end of the deal if they needed help when they got back home. To that end, Governor Evers asked for nearly $2 million in his budget proposal to keep Klein Hall and the Green Bay Veterans Facility open. That funding was stripped out of the Joint Finance Committee, controlled by Republicans. So Smith mentions offering an amendment to restore it on the Senate floor, but it was voted down. All but one Republican state senator voted against the amendment. So now Smith is co-authoring a standalone bill to fund the program and keep the facilities open. He says this is not a time for finger pointing now. We've got to get the job done. He says if Republicans don't want to sign on to the bill that I introduced, then so be it. But don't stand by and do nothing while these brave veterans are asked to relocate to Union Grove on the other side of the state. He says supporting our veterans shouldn't be a talking point. It should be a promise we honor. Let's show the people of Wisconsin what it really means to put our money where our mouth is when it comes to supporting those that we have served. Again, that's State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire County, the Senate Democratic Assistant Leader, talking about Republicans zeroing out funding for homeless veterans. In a somewhat similar vein, Governor Evers is knocking the Trump administration for cuts to the U.S. Forest Service, saying that those cuts are going to be devastating for states like Wisconsin. Evers wrote a letter Monday to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and said the state was going to expect less funding from the urban and community forestry grant programs, presumably to cover the cost of terminating some dedicated federal workers. Evers writes, it is untenable to expect Wisconsinites to take on the additional workload caused by cuts to the federal workforce while also gutting the investments necessary to support that effort. Using the very funds that are being eliminated to compensate for the workforce reduction undermines the trust and commitment that this important work requires. And Evers goes on to say much more, but the folks at WisPolitics report that there is a state senator from the Rice Lake area, Romaine Quinn, Republican chair of the Committee on Insurance, Housing, Rural Affairs, and Forestry. Romaine Quinn said that the reductions, quote, don't warrant the hysteria being drummed up by Governor Evers and opponents of President Trump. God forbid somebody tries to trim a little spending from the federal government that is incapable of living within its means, Quinn said. And there, once again, we get at the crux of the differences between the parties and those who are focused on service and then finding ways to fund that service and those who are simply looking for ways to save a buck for the purposes of saving a buck, but not really for the purposes of saving a buck, because that buck that's not going to be used for the Forest Service is going to go to tax cuts for the very wealthy, where we hope that they just trickle down. It seems like the chair of a legislative committee committed to forestry should perhaps maybe defend Wisconsin's forests in a ways that isn't just reliant upon, well, my party wants budget cuts, and so who cares what the consequences are? If you've got a better plan, happy to hear it, but it sounds like the plan is simply do less. And let's get those tax dollars over to the rich, and maybe they'll build us a new forest if they can be bothered not to invest in another yacht instead or something like that. So in much the same way, the last hour we talked about, there's a difference between the parties. There's one that wants to Democrats want to make it just a little bit harder for state legislators to use your tax dollars to use outside counsel to represent them when they're doing things like, trying to gerrymander maps. And another party, the Republicans, well, their latest bill they've introduced would be to increase the penalties for vandalism and graffiti on statues and monuments. Again, it's feel-good legislation, but it doesn't do anything to stop the abuse of, things like gerrymandered maps and racking up big legal bills to defend the gerrymandered maps and the lame duck laws and the other things that one political party has been doing recklessly in this state for a number of years. I'd much rather side with the people that are looking out for our homeless veterans, not forgetting to fund them, making sure that our forests are healthy and sustainable and economically productive. And also, instead of the party whose president has now made over $1 billion off cryptocurrency in one of the great corruption scandals of our lifetime that is going unreported, I'd rather go with the folks that are trying to make sure that cryptocurrency isn't something that can scam us, even at a place like an ATM when we go to the gas station. And we're going to talk about that with two state legislators coming up right after the Midwest Farm Report. Live from Madison today, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, we're less than 2 weeks away from Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Clinton Farms in Bear Creek getting ready to host the big event that's going to be coming up on August 5th through the 7th. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And of course, one of the big events you can look forward to at Clinton Farms and Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, field demonstration. Don Zeitlow is one of the fellows behind the scenes planning for those field demonstrations. And he says, for him, it's almost like homecoming. Why? Because he's been a part of field demos at Clinton Farms in previous shows.
Well, back in 1978, the year I graduated high school, our ag class and FFA members got to come down and actually drive the demo equipment. So I spent 3 days on a tractor and a plow down here, and I do some work for Tom Clinton, and I happened to be here doing some welding for him, and they were talking about it, and they said, boy, do I have a job for you. At this point, it's going to be hay. Try to get it set up, so we're doing cutting, merging, harvesting all 3 days.
There you go. Don Zeitlow, one of the hardworking volunteers behind the scenes at Clinton Farms, getting ready to host Wisconsin Farm Technology Days for the third time. Again, the dates, August 5th through the 7th. If you want to find out more, WIFarmTechnologyDays.com. Markets and overnight electronic trade. Well, the corn and soybean numbers are moving to the positive side, but dairy still very negative. Those numbers next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
No change on barrel or block cheese prices again yesterday. AA butter dropped 5¾ cents to $2.42 a pound. Corn and soybeans currently trading 2 cents higher. The wheat market is up 3. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 7. 17.17 a hundredweight. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high right around 84 this afternoon. Tonight, 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 83. The heat and humidity will return with 80s to low 90s by the weekend and a few scattered thunderstorms, especially on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then the Overture Center's Tim Sowers joins me to give us a preview of upcoming shows. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, I'll be in Oshkosh. We'll be hearing from Gordon Hintz, the Winnebago County Executive. We'll also be talking to a provost from the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh about happenings there, along with our Week in Review panel, which includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. All that and much more. Oh, also State Representative Lee Snodgrass from the Appleton area will be joining us, and Mike Clemens with a look at weekend sports. A very busy day tomorrow from Oshkosh on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News and right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where today we're in Madison, where Parker Olson produces what we do, and Parker's not a coffee drinker.
That I am not.
Parker pointed me toward the coffee pot here because my original gas station coffee is gone. So I thought, I see a coffee pot there. I will fill it up.
Yeah.
There's one of those little single-serving Keurig cup thingies.
Sure. Okay.
And there's a coffee pot.
Yeah.
I filled it up from the coffee pot.
Okay.
Put in a little bit of cream and sugar.
There you go.
Raised it to my lips. It is ice cold.
Well.
I mean.
Yeah.
Is it like yesterday's coffee?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Is it decaf that's next? You have to use the single serve? I do not know if this has any benefit whatsoever. Certainly not in terms of heat.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe not caffeine.
It may have shocked you enough that you're more awake now.
Oh, I'm more awake now, yes.
See, it did the job.
It did this job without having to ingest a thing.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. First world problems. But here's a problem I don't have. I am unburdened by immense knowledge in cryptocurrency. I have a healthy dose of skepticism at this point, which does not mean I'm writing it off entirely. I'm completely admitting I will need to learn more. What I've learned is that cryptocurrency involves, you know, a whole lot of data processing, which means a whole lot of electricity and everything that comes from it, and that the regulatory framework around it is, shall we say, still a work in progress. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do anything about it. Some folks in Washington said they were doing something about it last week. It was allegedly crypto week, and Congressman Brian Stile talked all about passing some kind of stablecoin legislation that he said was going to put a regulatory framework around cryptocurrency. A lot of Democrats disagreed and saw it as more of a sweetheart deal. I am again here to tell you that I can't say with authority that it is more one way or the other. I can say this as a former legislator. There is a role for legislatures to play at the state level to protect consumers and perhaps financial institutions, small businesses, the economy. Somebody should be thinking about these things. I have found two people who are thinking about these things. There's State Senator Kelda Royce and there is State Representative Ryan Spouty. And welcome to you both. I hope your coffee is hot, and I thank you for being here with us this morning.
Good morning, Pat. I'm sorry to say I actually do like iced coffee.
Well, I like iced coffee when I know it's coming. I wasn't expecting it. Kelda, these are weighty issues that we're about to discuss, but I've got to get the fun stuff out of the way here first, because Trygve Olsen was filling in for Todd Alba yesterday, and Tony up in Ashland was listening, and he asked this question on YouTube. Did you know Kelda wrote musicals? Found that out yesterday from Trygve Olsen. How do you plead?
Well, guilty, but not any complete musicals. So you're never going to find anything in like the Library of Congress, but... Yeah, I was a theater major in college, and actually my best friend from college is a musical theater composer, and he's very successful. So it's really fun to see, you know, the early things that we did together go in the garbage, but he's actually very successful.
Kelda, I will feel much better now when you write Wisconsin Legislature the musical. I just feel like you've already got some verses in your head that will make, you know, Book of Mormon look like child's play by the time you are done. I hope that this happens. So tuck that away for future reference. All right, now let's cover the matter at hand here. And Kelda, while you've got the floor, we'll start with you. What is the bill that you and Representative Spouty are working on from a state level when it comes to crypto, and especially as we see them on these ATM machines that are popping up around the state?
So this is basically a consumer protection bill. We know that Wisconsinites want to experiment and learn about these new kinds of technologies, including cryptocurrency. But unfortunately, what's happening right now with these crypto kiosks being totally unregulated is that people are being scammed and they're being used to facilitate criminal activity. So massive fraud. And stories are really, really heartbreaking. People just losing their life savings in an instant. So this is a bill to basically put a framework, create some guardrails so that people can safely use cryptocurrency kiosks, and so that there's some accountability and law enforcement can actually go after these criminals, which right now it's almost impossible for them to do.
And Representative, won't you help fill in some more, tell us more about the bill and your involvement in it?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Pat. Good to see you, Kelda, as always. Senator Royce and I teamed up on this. Former prosecutor. I was a drunk driving prosecutor, actually. That was my primary focus. But as we're all well aware, there are many crimes against people's property that aren't tangible, that you can't actually see. And crypto is the Wild West still. There's still a lot of unregulated areas of that, we'll call it enterprise. And what we're doing is we are stepping up at the state level and we are saying, hey, we need to have some rules. We need to have some ground game rules that everyone is expected to follow. And the goal, we want to encourage entrepreneurship and the development of new technology, but we also need to be serious. There are many cases, both here in Wisconsin and across the country, of folks, frequently they're seniors, who are being defrauded. They are losing just an incredible amount of money, as Senator Roy's mentioned, like that. We need to have some good government, some very basic regulations in place, to make sure that people are not cheated and scammed out of their livelihoods. And that is what this bill aims to accomplish.
Senator, can we then get in a little bit more specifics, either if not what the bill does or maybe what it's trying to prevent? Are there examples of scams or crimes that have been seen elsewhere that we don't want to see happen here?
Absolutely. And they're already happening here, to be clear. You know, a lot of scams basically tell you to go put money in this kiosk because you're going to buy something from overseas, or they're used for, you know, criminals use them to transfer proceeds of their ill-gotten activities. We've also seen a startling rise in the number of love bombing, sort of catfishing schemes where really targeting people who are isolated and, you know, feeling sad and lonely, and they meet somebody on the internet who, you know, tells them that they love them and kind of carpet bombs them with affection, and then has a need for money for some family member surgery or something like that. And before the person realizes it's a scam, their money is gone. So we worked with the Department of Financial Institutions on this bill. They have just promulgated some regulations, but they are really excited to update our statutes. Right now, if you transfer money using your credit union or an online service like PayPal or Venmo, it's regulated. So this bill basically turns crypto kiosk operators into regulated money transferers, meaning they have to obey the same rules and have the same protections as your bank. You have to verify the identity of the people who are using this. And this is important for law enforcement. If there is an allegation of a crime, that they can go back and say, well, here's this person's ID. Here's what they presented us. And here's the name they gave us. There's a daily limit so that you could only withdraw, or you could only use up to $1,000. This is really important because if somebody, you know, is asking for $40,000, you could lose that in a day right now. There's also the ability to get a refund from the crypto operator if within 30 days you have reported to law enforcement and reported to the kiosk operator that you were scammed. And that's really, really important because right now there's functionally no way for people who have been victimized to get their money back.
Can you talk, Representative Spouty, a bit about just the volatility of crypto? I worry, at the risk of getting too far in the weeds here, but that somebody may have thought they were investing so much or, you know, spending so much on this. They do feel like they were scammed. They want to get something back. And the response to them is, well, now it's only worth, you know, this much. And again, I mean, who knows? You're basically looking to see that, you know, dollar for dollar, if somebody gets scammed, they're going to recover the money that they thought they were putting toward what turned out to be a fraudulent transaction. Is that about right?
Yes, that is correct. I'm not, I don't own any Spouty coin. I don't, I'm not in that market personally, but the whole purpose of this bill, the goal of this bill is when we have these regulations, these licensure requirements, these know your customer requirements, warnings on a crypto kiosk. You can see these in, they're sprouting up all over in malls and in convenience stores, gas stations, warnings. That's another important part of this bill. The goal is to have the number of cases where people, as we are seeing, like I said, across the country, including here in Wisconsin, we want the number of those cases from the get-go to go down. We don't want to have folks in a situation where they are seeking a refund because they've been defrauded. So again, kind of setting aside the whole, what's it like to be in that market? If you play by the rules and you want to do crypto, good on you. Go for it. We are setting these regulations in place so that way we do not have as many instances of criminals using a lack of regulation to defraud people of incredible amounts of money.
It would be nice if this were a nonpartisan, non-political issue. Tony puts up on YouTube, who could possibly be against this bill? Well, I'm sorry to put some politics into us, but I have a feeling that maybe a certain White House occupant who has made more than $1 billion with his own cryptocurrency, which seems an awful lot like a shell game to me, might be it. And so, Kelda, when we see what Congress was working on last week, and we know that, you know, Wisconsin Congressman Brian Steil was one of those leading the charge on this, how confident do you feel that what Congress and the Trump administration are doing will be helpful to you as state legislators or an impediment?
Well, I'm very concerned that this absolutely corrupt regime in Washington is going to try to crack down on states' ability to protect consumers. You know, we have never seen a president monetize being in the White House the way that this president has. And one of the ways that he's doing that is with crypto schemes. And, you know, any type of financial asset that you might have, whether it's cash in the bank, whether it's, you know, jewelry or gold or stocks, bonds, real estate, there are regulatory guardrails in place. Even if you're in, you know, more speculative markets like early stage investing or hedge funds, private equity, there are still rules in place and there are regulatory regimes that have to be followed. And crypto really is the Wild West. And that is why it is the, you know, the gambling of choice, the asset of choice for criminals and fraudsters. And, you know, the idea that we should just sit by as people are scammed, I think is outrageous, right? I mean, what is government for if we're not going to stop crime and keep people safe?
And that's where when Congressman Steil says we want to spur innovation, development and growth in crypto, again, the sense I get from you and others is saying, okay, in the point where it's legal and does not become the Wild West. And so I'm very thankful to see state-based legislation like this. Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, Representative Ryan Spouty of Ashwaubenon, thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
All right. Have a wonderful day. A local update is next for some of you. And then in our next hour, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, Joe Zepecki on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looking for food, fun, and live music this summer? Head to Area 509 in Appleton with Caribbean Taste. Every Friday, enjoy a food truck rally from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music from 5:30 to 7:30. Enjoy the Triple S Market, Sip, Shop, Sing every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. With local artisans, open mic, guest food trucks, a full menu of incredible Caribbean taste food, charcuterie, mimosas, and more. It's all happening at 1025 North Badger Avenue. Come join the fun!
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
What's on Tap, brought to you by Miller Lite, the original light beer. Rooting for the Brew Crew, because we're from Milwaukee too. Tastes like Miller time. Collect new brewer swag designed by Wisconsin artists at T-Shirt Tuesdays, presented by Hupie and Abraham. Be one of the first 10,000 at the game on August 12th for a special shirt by Emily Balsley. Get tickets at brewers.com/giveaways. Milwaukee Brewers Baseball and Miller Lite.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Remember, you can sign up for our Up North News newsletters, our one on the weekdays, our Sunday morning one with a focus on Wisconsin politics, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Our Sunday morning one includes a question of the week with a candidate for governor for next year already running ads. What does that do? Are you impressed by that? Do you understand it's how you have to build name ID? Or is it a turnoff and you might be less inclined to vote for this person for spending money on TV ads this early? That's part of our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up again at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, we normally in our homeroom segment on Wednesday mornings at 7:30 talk about public education, but public education's, I don't know if you'd call it Super Bowl or maybe their Daytona 500, whatever it is happening in Green Bay today up at Preble High School. And Camden Hargrove from the Wisconsin Public Education Network joins us to talk all about today's Summer Summit 2025. Camden, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
That's wonderful to have you here. You're working with some great people with the network. Todd Alba being one of them. He'll be doing his radio show live from the Summer Summit coming up this afternoon from 2 until 4. But let's start with the general overview. This is the 11th annual Summer Summit. But let's describe to folks more or less what the Summer Summit is that you hold and what you're holding there in Green Bay today.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's the 11th annual Summer Summit. So this is starting to become a great tradition that we have. And we're at Preble High School today. And we are coming together to talk about where we are, the state of education right now, and where we are post state budget, where they absolutely took away the needs that children have, right? They did not give nearly enough money to help special education. They are only planning to fund 45% and 47%, and that is just not acceptable, especially when they're willing to give $30 million to vouchers. We know that our kids are the most important thing. And so we're here to come together, realize that we do have each other and that there is strength in all of us being here together and learning, as well as then being able to teach people and grow and have workshops and sessions where people can learn about how to fight back against these vouchers, where people can learn about referendums and what goes into them, where we can talk about how to be allies to LGBTQ youth. And really just grow together.
And the theme is building community through thriving public schools. It is definitely something we've talked about with network folks before. Just talking about the deep connection between public schools and their communities, and that when public schools are harmed, the community is harmed overall. So I'm sure more people will be talking today about drawing that line between public schools and the health of our communities.
Yeah. And we're going to have over 100 people here today here to listen to that message and bring that back to their communities. And so this isn't just going to help and impact the Green Bay School District. We have people from all around the state coming. And when we learn from each other, we can grow and build our communities, and that's what is necessary right now. We are going to be the people that do the work. No one is going to come to save us. No one is going to come to bail us out of this. It is our job. We are here. We have to do the work. So that is why we're coming together. That is why we're uniting the community, and we're learning, we're growing, we're teaching, and we're working together.
There are several breakout sessions. There is, as always, a School Finance 101 to explain the state's convoluted school funding process. There is community engagement for public schools through referendum efforts. That will include Lori Blakesley, who's been on the show before, from the Green Bay Area Public Schools, Colleen Nowak from DePere, Emily Pritzkow from the Wisconsin Building Trades Council, somebody that we've talked to before. There will also be sessions on supporting new teachers, transformational community schools that give success to all. There's also a wellness workshop for organizers, building resiliency, because let's face it, being an advocate for public schools is it's a draining gig these days. It's full time. You got to learn to take care of yourself along the way.
Yeah, burnout is real. And like I said, all of us need to come together, right? Well, you know, that can get exhausting if we just keep burning. And so it's important to learn how to have self-care, how to find what helps us thrive so we can make sure that we embrace that and work on that so we have enough of ourselves to give and enough energy to keep doing this life.
There will also be supporting public schools in an age of disinformation with Christina Bry from the Wisconsin Education Association Council. There will be a session called Getting Ready to Run. Some educators are thinking about being candidates next year. And former legislator Christina Sanher, the executive director of Wisconsin Progress, along with training director Becky Rasmussen, will be putting on that seminar as well. And then you had that reception at Lambeau Field last evening, so that had to be a really nice way to, pun intended, kick things off.
Yeah, I mean, that's one great pun. I will bring it back real quick to what you're talking about running. Because it lines right into what I was saying about it being about us, right? And the people that run for school board, these are the people in our community, right? These are previous teachers. These are people that care about our kids. Mm-hmm. And learning how to get into that and run is very key.
One of many topics to be covered at the Summer Summit. Camden Hargrove covering it for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Camden, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. We've got a lot ahead coming up in the third hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jeffrey Epstein's convicted co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell is set to meet with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche in Florida today. Blanche and Attorney General Pam Bondi saying they want to know if she has any information about anyone who committed crimes against victims. Also today, says ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The Wall Street Journal reports Bondi and Blanche informed the president in May his name appears multiple times in the Epstein files. The paper reports they told Trump they did not plan to release them because they contain child pornography and personal information about victims. Trump deferred to their decision. Last week, Trump denied Bondi told him his name was in the files.
A federal judge refusing to unseal the grand jury testimony surrounding the Epstein investigation. Following criticism of Fed Chair Jerome Powell for not lowering interest rates, President Trump visits the Fed headquarters in Washington today. A plane crashing in far eastern Russia, wreckage on the side of a hill, 48 people killed. This is ABC News.